We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
It's 21 questions presented by MacAdoodles, the fine folks at MacAdoodles. They've been absolutely wonderful to work with. They have a store opening in Lee Summit very, very soon. We can't wait to get out there and check that out. Maybe Matty Lane, when he's in town in October, will get to check it out too. I'm here with Matty Lane. We'll be answering the questions today. Matthew, hi.
Hi, I would love to check it out when I'm back there. You know, I would like to get my feet in a MacAdoodles. So I'm looking forward to this being a possibility. I must say, you and I haven't done the 21 questions with each other in a while. We've kind of been on like, what, you that
like
look?
A month, right?
You think so?
I think it's been like a month or so.
Maybe we squeezed one in there, but I think there was a gap before that because this is all I know. Craig no longer sings intros and he says it's your fault. He says it's because of you. So now that it's you and I demand you to sing me an intro.
You are not putting me on the spot today.
You ruined a good bit for everyone. So now you have to recut. Like, you have to dig out of this hole you created.
I'm not doing it. I have no desire. I did it once. It was a lot of fun. I'm good now. This is not a me problem. You're going to have to bring it up with Craig.
He blames you. You literally lit something on fire and just ran away and like with all the water pails.
Well, I'm sorry, but like the pitchforks are coming. Like the Discord's gonna rip me to shreds for this.
They are.
Yeah. And by the way, all these questions are coming from the Discord, by the way. If you want to ask questions on this fine show, subscribe to KCSN, our Substack. You get all kinds of like premium content, like all of our breakdowns, our film reviews, and all that stuff. You get access to the KCSN Discord, which is like the coolest community. It's been so much fun to be part of that community. They ask great questions. They make fun of all of us. It's great. So make sure you check that out. And we're going to start getting into all the questions that we have here because we do have some good ones today. Zach, easy content. Foe McGorkin asks, what's the best plan for the O-line to stop the Bucks front seven?
Check out the game preview edition of the KC Laboratory where we break all this down. I mean, realistically, play better. Like, I don't know if there's a game plan. Just play better. Don't play bad. Play better. Make your blocks.
Play better. That's what a elaborate answer. No,
I don't have a lot. Yeah, I don't.
You know, you hope they're a little bit healthier. I think that's part of it. You hope they're a little bit healthier. And yeah, they got to play better. Like they got bossed last week. Joel Penn,
You know, you got motivation. Shaq Barrett gave you a lot of motivation. Yeah. Use it. Even if you don't play with the same level of intensity all year, but like it's a little bit of a wake-up call after playing poorly, like maybe that's what they need. So like maybe you can fall back on that a little bit.
Joel Penfield asks the best way to get Sky Moore involved offensively early. I kind of talked about this a little bit on the game preview as well. I think, you know, it's going to be tough sledding to run truly against this Bucks front. I think, you know, the short passing game might be a little bit of your run game a lot. And I think you might even said it, like Josh Allen dropping back 70 times or whatever. It might be one of those things where the short passing game is your run game, you know, where you're just taking some easy completions and getting out on the edge. I think Sky Moore involved in some manufactured touches, try to see him get involved a little bit like that. You know, some intermediate, short to intermediate passes. I think a couple slants here or there, try to get a little run through here, because I think that's one of the things, like, he's tough in the middle of the field. He's physically tough. And I mean, it's tough sledding to introduce him this week, but they might have to because of Marquez Valdes-Scantling potentially being out too. Speaking of Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Matt K asks, does MVS get released in the offseason?
What was the dead cap hit on him?
Because it's not very big. I'll look at it while you're talking.
But I thought it. I don't think it's big, but I thought it was more than it being an insignificant amount. Like, I think it was essentially. I thought it was a 2-year deal that you could pay your way out of. Was essentially how I looked at it in my head. So minimal. I don't think he's going to go anywhere next year, because I don't know if you're going to feel good about the wide receiver room. Right, like, you're got to assume that Mecole Hardman is probably out next year based on everything we've seen. Like, he's going to go look for a role in an offense that might utilize him more and what probably wants to pay him a little bit more. Are you really going to lose him and MVS? Let's say you are lucky enough to bring back Juju Smith-Schuster for a deal you like. You still have Juju Smith-Schuster and Sky Moore, your only returning receiver. So I don't know. It seems like he's probably here for 2 years, even though I hope that his role greatly diminishes next year.
So it's a $4 million cap law hit if you cut him. You could also post June 1 him and split that and save $9 million against the cap next year. So it's not impossible to do that.
But it's not like a gimme. It's like, it's not easy. It wasn't, the contract was not made with that in mind. I don't think, like, it was not made, so designed to get out after 1 year.
It's an easy-ish out. It's still early. Like, I think that this group just needs to get themselves together a little bit and figure some things out. And
he's
then
a useful player.
He's a valuable player.
He's just not a wide receiver 1B. And right now the Chiefs are asking him to be that. They're asking him to run a relatively full route tree and use him on routes that he's not really run a ton and Green Bay or had success with. They're asking him to do more than he can do. They need to quit. Just let him be his little role player self. Maybe use Sky Moore in the roles that they're trying to force MVS into. There's a way to get him involved early. But I did want to answer Joel's question, actually. Best way to get Sky Moore involved early, put him on the field once in a while. That's a start.
It's not a bad idea either. Andy Nagel, what should KC do with Chris Jones and Orlando Brown? So I think just moving forward, like, what do you look like for them beyond this year, I guess?
Find a replacement for Orlando Brown Jr. If you don't have any options, I think you just franchise tag him again next year, eat the bullet next year on that, and then that buys you an extra year to try to find a replacement that you think you'll be in a better position to get. Chris Jones, that's a tricky one. You have to look yourself in the mirror long and hard and decide, do you want to pay an older player? They don't do it. They don't like to do it. He's now going to be right on the cusp where you are going to be paying him a lot of money as an older player. Are you willing to do it? Is Chris Jones the guy that breaks that mold for you? It's going to be, if they are willing to pay old players, they should pay him. If they're not willing to pay old players, then I don't know if Chris Jones is the guy you break that kind of rule for.
Jackie Virgo, I think Matt already said the tackle position in the upcoming draft is not great. Are there any real possibilities there if Brown is giving up the fourth most pressures? That is not too difficult to replace.
The offensive line group isn't great. And this actually goes to the wide receiver group too. It's not great because there's not this top end elite talent, but I think there is enough quality talent that you're going to hit at the end of round one to the middle of round two. And that means that teams that draft in the latter half of round one might get their offensive tackle one or their offensive tackle two, despite drafting later in the draft. And still, they're not a top 10 level prospect, but you might get your favorite guy at the end of round one when the tackle class kind of looks like this, where there's no clear front runner and it's a bunch of guys that everyone kind of likes, but you don't love.
No, I think that's right. And yeah, maybe they can find some, you know, decent value at the left tackle position in the back end of round one. I think the thing that's tricky for the Chiefs though, is do you walk into the draft with a glaring need at left tackle? I don't know if you do that.
And now, right tackle.
and right tackle too. So like, I think that's where things get a little bit tricky for them and how they have to navigate that. I don't think you can just walk in there with such a massive glaring need that you, you know, you go all the way through the through the offseason. So, okay, maybe you tag Orlando Brown and you still draft a guy and, hey, look, we're going to take our lumps. We're going to pay this guy a decent chunk of change this year. We're going to, you know, pay for the sins of how this went. Or you know, and hey, look, it's still a lot of time. Orlando Brown could play well. He could still play well. Like, that's still in the range of outcomes. Like, oh, come on, Maddie. It's still possible. I don't
insert GIF of girl drinking soda.
I think the knee injury is kind of ominous though. I don't like it. I don't like it this early. But you might have tag him and still draft his replacement. I think they did. I mean, that's kind of what they did with Brandon Albert and Eric Fisher. Eric Fisher actually played right tackle, if you remember, his rookie year. I don't know if I love doing that, but it's something to at least consider there. S Wallaby 13. How surprised are you about the Kelsey's podcast? Did he have to get approval from Reed to do it? Is it player contracts about whether or not they're allowed to put out podcasts and other media? I don't think that there is probably any restrictions contractually on Travis Kelce. There's probably some courtesy there, I would imagine, with the coaching staff and with the team and all that stuff. But yeah, like, I don't think that there's any like contractual stuff. As for the podcast itself, the sound bites have been great. Like, I have not watched a full episode, but the sound bites have been awesome. They're making rounds. There's good nuggets there that you, I mean, it's a podcast worth listening to. I haven't got to it yet. I don't listen to a ton of podcasts. That's going to sound crazy. Maybe, but like, I mean, it's probably just cause like I do enough podcasting on the side that I don't want to listen to a bunch, but, I mean, it's great. It's like the cuts have been really nice.
I am mildly surprised because I think this is something that we've talked about a little bit. Tyreek Hill clearly wanted to start a podcast. I wonder if that's a little bit of a friction thing because Andy Reid is very controlling. I would have been floored if Tyreek Hill would have got to unleash on his podcast like he has with the Dolphins while on the Kansas City Chiefs with Andy Reid. I think that also goes to show, though, Andy Reid has trust in Travis Kelce. He's known him for a long time. He's seen Travis Kelce grow as a person. He knows everything about him. He knows he can trust him to go on there and not say silly stuff. He knows they can go on there and not try to bury another team across from him like Tyreek Hill seems to be willing to do for clicks. I think he trusts Travis Kelce not to hunt for clicks like Tyreek Hill has been doing. I know the question didn't specifically ask to compare and contrast the two, but I assume that's kind of where we're hedging here with this a little bit. I think the podcast is really good. I think the Kelce brothers have done a great job. They're very entertaining. They're all very respectable while still giving opinions. They share a lot of good stuff. Like, it's a great podcast worth listening to. It sounds like they've been trying to figure out how they can get it done for a couple of years. So I'm sure it's the relationship he has with Andy that got kind of this, yes, okay. Like, there's no contractual improvement, but there's an Andy Reid improvement level factor that's there. And I think Travis Kelce, maybe Pat and only a select another guy or two probably get it to do a podcast, especially midseason.
So I think the conversation probably went something like, you know, hey coach, hey Andy, I want to do some side projects. And Andy probably just says, is it a dating show? And Travis Kelce said, no, and he said, good enough. It's not, you're not going back to E, are you? Okay, good. All right, fine. Whatever. Do whatever. I'm sure
his brother being an Andy guy as well also helps. Like, right. It's like two guys that Andy has this relationship with. It's like, I'm sure there's a lot that went into it, but yeah, he's probably happy it's no longer a dating show that was terrible.
It's probably pretty low maintenance too for those guys. Hey, jump on and talk to your brother for 30 minutes. Like, it's got to be easy talking, you know, like that can't be too difficult. Positivitosti, if you could pick one current player on the Buccaneers and put them on the Chiefs, who would you pick and why?
Oh, Mike Evans, because he's like somehow one of the most underrated wide receivers of all time. Like, his statistical profile is absolutely insane, regardless of who plays quarterback for him. And while he's not exactly a separator, so he doesn't have a completely different skill set maybe than MVS, he's just better at everything that MVS does. That it doesn't matter. The weaknesses of that game don't matter because he's so much better. Like, yeah, I'd take Mike Evans in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike Evans is the answer. Like, you know, Tristan Wirfs wouldn't suck. I don't think he'd be pick 1A, though. I mean, Chris Godwin would be decent.
Is the health. I would have gone with Godwin if it wasn't for the health.
Vita Vey. Vita Vey would be fun. I mean, but I'm, yeah, it's Evans. Like, that's the clear-cut answer. But Mike Denny said in before Maddie answers Tom Brady, so they don't have Tom Brady. Like, yeah, I was waiting for that. But, like, you've kind of wore that bit out a lot.
I yeah, and, you know, I was – People keep trying to slip 21 questions in there expecting Maddie answers, but like this isn't where you get the Maddie answers. This is me directly answering your questions. I'm not trying to Maddie answer you guys. I'm giving you guys a truthful, honest answer. I save those for when Kent tries to back me into a corner.
Well, and yeah, he tries to be as difficult as he possibly can when I back him into a corner too. Zandera, at this time last year, I felt the O had a plan with Mike Kafka and Spags was on the hot seat. Now it feels like the O has no plan to introduce fresh ideas and Spags is doing a great job with the young defense. What do you see as the long-term outlook of this coaching staff?
It's almost like the talent on either side of those two situations matters, right? Like, it's almost like putting a bunch of new young talent with Spagnuolo maybe makes them look better. I guess he's Spagnuolo is your defensive coordinator as long as he wants to be a defensive coordinator in Kansas City, right? Like, I don't see Andy Reid running him out. He's easily been good enough that Andy will not run him out. Look how long it took to get Sutton out, and he wasn't near as effective, I don't believe, from in terms of scheming things up and running a consistent defense. So he's going to be here as long as he wants. Does he have a different or better job come knocking? Does he want to step away? I don't know. I think it's interesting that Joe Colan was brought in. I think it's interesting the Chiefs' defensive line appears to be playing a lot better right now and really taking to that coaching. I think that is something to keep your eyes on moving forward if they are to replace that side. Offensively, you know, we'll see. Just we'll see. I don't think somebody's going to come pulling away your offensive coordinator. I think we've done this dog and pony show for a while. Will Andy ever step away from him? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't anticipate a ton of big changes. You know, I don't know if that's going to be something like, I think Spags will be here for a while. I think I think Matt Nagy's going to be around for a while too, honestly, regardless of what happens to Eric Bieniemy. I think Matt Nagy could be a guy that's around for quite some time here. I think that's definitely in the realm of possibility. I'd like to see some more fresh ideas. I like Joe Colan, I think, has been a breath of fresh air. And so maybe Joe Colan and the success it seems like they're having up front helps a little bit with how, you know, how this team kind of goes about looking to identify and add more fresh ideas into this offense too, because I think you want to keep Pat kind of engaged a little bit too.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Does this quote worry you? From JL. It's our buddy Charles Goldman does a wonderful job on the KCSN Substack. You get access to all of his articles on KC Sports Network whenever you subscribe as well. Tommy Townsend said the fake punt last week was something they'd specifically been practicing for the Colts. Does this quote worry you, Matthew?
Not at all. I mean, I think that's if somebody thought that play was just called up in the dirt on the sideline based on not wanting to actually kick the field goal, then I don't know what you actually think of like Andy Reid as a coach, right? That would be wild. If that was the case and they decided to go with a fake over trusting Patrick Mahomes, that would be absolutely wild. This is something that they have scouts that go through. They see certain tells and formations. They anticipated the Colts in this field goal block formation, this specific formation, maybe it's from a specific hash, maybe it's a specific distance and a specific hash that they were going to play it a certain way. They were like, hey, if we run this fake right here, it should be wide open. It didn't work. Tommy did double clutch it. I wonder if he gets the ball out to Who is he throwing to? Noah Gray on that play on time. If maybe he has a chance, a small chance, but a chance to make it work. So, you know, I think there's an outside chance it still could have worked. Like, they saw something on film they wanted to attack. Like, that's how it should go.
I saw some like win probability or like win, like not win probability. It's like, should the Chiefs have kicked it there? Should they have not? Even like the analytics thought they should have kicked it there. Like, it was like one of the most blatantly obvious, like, you should kick this in this situation moments. They just flat out didn't trust their kicker. I think the reason that they were looking to try to do that, obviously, because they just didn't trust their kicker. And I get it, but situationally, it was a terrible time to try to do that. I don't think the problem is the fake. I think they probably, like, when they talked, they probably said, you know what, we might need a few more fakes here. We might need to have a few more in our bag this week just in case, because we don't trust our kicker. Like, that's in the realm of possibilities. But I don't know. It was a mess. It looked awful. Like, it wasn't open either. Like, an easy complete. Like, if Tommy Townsend takes the awkward football, which, by the way, the kicking football is a little bit different than the regular football, and completes it, like, it's still probably not a first down.
I think it's Noah Gray one-on-one versus somebody that he's got a step on, that he's going to have to make a miss. I agree. No, he's going to have to make a miss. And I don't know if that's a battle that I exactly want. And I don't know if the Colts were like, hey, we don't trust your kicker from this distance. We don't think you do. Maybe we'll play it differently this time. And they showed their basic thing and they peeled out. I don't know how it went. Like, that, you know, that I absolutely don't understand. It's just, I think what they're saying is they saw something that they thought they could exploit. They got the look they wanted. They tried it. It didn't work. It is what it is.
WBRG, Wooberg, I'm sorry if I'm butchering this, but does Watts Island have another visitor in Mike Evans, or are we in for a rude awakening? And do you think Chris Jones can get him ejected after whispering sweet nothings to Brady all game?
Yeah, I think Mike Evans will take his chances at Jalen Watson. And, you know, you're probably like you got with Alec Pierce, but maybe even more so going to win some, going to lose some. You just hope that he competes. You hope that he goes out there and just doesn't get Charvarius Ward versus Jamar Chase, right? If it's not that, then I think you're probably feeling pretty decent about it, as long as he's competitive. That said, I'm pretty sure the last time these two teams played, I think Mike Evans was beating up on Rashad Fenton a little bit. I think Rashad Fenton played in that game. I think Mike Evans is beating up on him too. I wouldn't, Mike Williams obviously has beat up on him too. I would not be surprised if that is the matchup the Buccaneers go hunting for, yeah, at least early in the game.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like, Mike Evans is just, he's going to get his, man. Like, that's part of the deal. Like, he's going to get his. So that's just, you got to live with it a little bit. It's good for Jalen Watson to continue to get battle tested though. I don't hate that a little bit. Like, I said this at the beginning of the year. With this season, it's just different mentality for me. They're not hanging on to an older core. They're starting with a new core. So it's like, there's a lot of fascination and curiosity and excited to see this growth. And like, and I'll get to this question from Ross right here. He's the young defense is ahead of schedule. I agree. Ross Sawyer, the young defense is ahead of schedule. The young offense is non-existent. Is Andy even more conservative with rookies than Spags? That's a great question.
Okay, so everyone likes to point to Tyreek Hill and even a little bit Mecole Hardman in terms of rookie usage, especially at wide receivers, for being, you know, a little hesitant to put them out there on the field. I counter with neither were very good receivers entering the NFL. Neither one of them played wide receiver for more than 2 years. Mecole Hardman switched from corner to wide receiver for his last 2 years at Georgia. Tyreek Hill played running back at Oklahoma State, then had to transfer, and he still played mostly running back, or essentially just as an offensive weapon. So, like, though, I don't think those are great comparisons. And you go back and look, Lucas Niang in his first season as a rookie got a chance to compete for a starting job. He 100% had a chance. Creed Humphrey started. Trey Smith started. You keep kind of going through the line on some of these guys in the offense. Yes, Kareem Hunt, when he was here, it took a couple injuries, but he was in the mix. Like, they are not that, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they are not really that picky. Andy's not that picky over playing rookies. I think the bigger concern, and I assume a lot of this is going towards Sky Moore not playing, it's wide receivers in Andy Reid's system. There is something there to that. When the talent is evident, though, he has played them. So Does that make me slightly nervous for Sky Moore going forward? Yeah, maybe. The fact that he isn't deemed talented enough to be put on the field so far is slightly, you know, it's getting me on my, making me a little nervous at this point.
Yeah, but yeah, think about Creed, think about Trey, think about Kareem Hunt. Like, they got those guys early, and when they kind of busted the door open, they rode them. And I mean, Kareem Hunt's breakout game was game one of his rookie year. So, all right. B Higgs 55, is wide receiver or offensive tackle on your offseason priority list right now?
Wide receiver, because right. It's difficult.
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah.
This is difficult because here's the thing. I think if you bring Orlando Brown Jr. back, you have to feel confident enough that he is going to be closer to what he was down the stretch last year than what he's shown so far. So if you go that route, if you feel that way and go that route, then I think you are okay waiting on offensive tackle and addressing other positions first. The issue is, I don't know how you feel that way based on what you've seen. So, you know, I personally would not be looking to bring him back. I would not be banging the table to bring him back. And then, yes, you probably have to go get an offensive tackle first. But I look at this receiver room. We just talked about it. I'm nervous that Sky Moore is not talented enough to beat out some of the wide receiver play that we've seen so far. I don't think a wide receiver room of Juju Smith-Schuster, MVS, and Justin Watson is that good. I removed Mecole Hardman because I think he's going to, you know, not be a Chief next year. So if those are your top three wide receivers heading into next year, what they've been so far this year, and that's assuming you get assigned Juju back, I don't know. That's bad. That's bad. I don't see anybody that wins easy. That is all a dogfight for all of those guys to win. That's rough.
Juju pacing for 1,000 yards receiving, by the way. I think close to 1,100. He might get paid. He might get paid. Like,
Chiefs should be the team to do it.
Probably. I agree. It's a tough question. I know we both kind of waffled on it. It's still early. It's three games in. We've seen three games, and on paper right now, it's probably wide receiver. But I think I'm concerned about where the tackle situation is right now. I'm just really concerned about the tackle situation. And I mean, obviously it's a knee, but like, hey, guess what? If Orlando Brown has a lingering knee issue all year, then that takes into consideration your long-term look at him. Like, sorry, I know it sucks, but like, if he plays like this and he plays with a hurt knee all season and this is what you get out of him, I'm not paying him. I don't want him to pay, and you shouldn't pay him what you were going to offer him the year before. So yeah, it's wide receiver, offensive tackle are probably the two biggest needs though. Like, you're going to see draft picks for both of them. I think
defensive end as well, but yeah. I think that's one they should just pay. I think that's where they spend money this off season, which if you're going to spend money at defensive end, are you really going to be able to spend it off for Orlando Brown as well? That's where I don't know. So yeah, I mean, maybe that's another feather in the cap for offensive tackle too, is I don't know if you have the money to spend on both, but it's tough. Big needs.
Keith McClain, kind of just following up more on Sky Moore. What do you think the reason is for us having seen so little of Sky in offense through three games?
Somebody doesn't trust him. I don't know who that is. I don't know if it's Andy Reid, Mahomes, Eric Bieniemy, Matt Nagy, whoever, who's the wide receiver coach right now? Does the B, right?
Joey Blaymeyer?
Yeah. Somebody doesn't trust him, because when you go look and see when his snaps come, they are on early downs, and a lot of them are run plays. I'm leaning towards a lot of them are RPOs. I have not got a double check yet, but they're early down plays. They're not called just direct drop back plays. He's not getting high leverage snaps. He's not getting snaps that are high leverage passing situations. Somebody does not necessarily trust him to do what they want on those particular plays, whether that is a lack of trust is earned, whether it's like well-placed, or whether it's somebody just, you know, wanting the young guy to prove a little bit more. Like, we won't know until we get to see it, but like, somebody out there, the snap counts, even when he does get them, the few that he gets when he gets them, look when they're coming, look what the Chiefs are doing. He's not involved in high leverage plays at all, especially high leverage passing plays. He's just not. That tells you all you need to know about the fact that there's somebody somewhere that doesn't trust him to be there in those situations.
Captain Denny, Mike Denny, he's being cheeky. Are we going to be bad? Are we going to be the bad guys Sunday night because the country is rallying around Florida due to Hurricane Ian?
I don't want to answer that question.
I get it.
I'm like, I don't want to answer the question. Like, I get the question. I don't want to answer it.
I don't think we're going to be the bad guys. And it's just, you know.
Counterpoint. Chiefs are the bad guys. I saw this tweet. And God, I wish I remember who tweeted it out. But somebody tweeted out that I think that it's funny that the moment that Tom Brady left the New England Patriots, the Chiefs became the bad guys of the NFL or the most hated team. And the Twitter account is Crushin' Natty. I believe he's a Patriots fan, but I think a lot of Chiefs fans might know him and follow him on Twitter. But he had a tweet a while back that it was just, he just found it funny that the moment Tom Brady left the AFC, all of a sudden everybody flipped and now and immediately hated the Chiefs and wanted every other team to beat the Chiefs. And they were tired of the Chiefs the second Tom Brady left the Patriots. I think the Chiefs are the bad guys in 9 out of 10 games they play. I think the Chiefs are the bad guys in 19 out of 20 games they play. They are very rarely the good guys in the national media world for whatever reason. It's kind of funny that that's the case, but they are. So yeah, I think they will be the bad guys of this game. And I do think something like rallying around Tampa is probably going to have a little bit to do with some media narrative.
I don't think they're anti. I don't think people are anti Mahomes either. Like, that's what's so weird. It's like they're anti Chiefs, but I don't think a lot of people are anti Mahomes. Fish asks, presuming we don't have Andy Reid for the rest of Mahomes' career, what approach do you want to see the Chiefs take regarding the Chiefs coaching staff long-term, as far as, I'm assuming, as far as the head coaching stuff is concerned?
Sean Payton. That's what I want to see.
I mean, yes. That would be fun. Sean Payton apparently loves Mahomes.
There's only one other head coach that I've ever seen get as excited about Patrick Mahomes as Andy Reid does, and his name is Sean Payton. He just also happens to be one of the other best NFL offensive minds over the past 3 decades or whatever. Realistically, I would like to see the Chiefs get in younger offensive minded head coaches that are willing to push the envelope like you've seen with some of the younger NFL coaches coming to the NFL. I don't think that Patrick Mahomes needs to be saddled to just guys from Andy Reid's system for his entire career, to guys that do things a little bit of the older way. I mean, like, Andy's done a great job adapting as time's gone on, don't get me wrong, but there's still some of that traditionalist in a lot of what he does. And I think you see it with EB, with Matt Nagy, with guys that come from his system. I would like to see somebody that is going to maybe branch away from that a little bit, be one of these younger, cockier kind of offensive minded coaches to be there with Patrick Mahomes once he gets to that point where he is the veteran. That's just the personal preference in the way that I would like to see them go for it.
It's going to be Liam Cohen in a few years.
I wish.
That's been 21 questions. Thank you guys so much for listening, watching, supporting. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. We appreciate you, and we'll catch you later.